Well, let's welcome you back to This Week in the Association. Kevin and I are honored to welcome the incredible voice of the Winnipeg Goldeyes, Doug Greenwald, to the show. So, Doug, first of all, tell us, the team made the playoffs last year and has a new manager this year. What's kind of the atmosphere around the team after a successful season last year and now a new manager taking over the club?
A mystery. And even the Greg Taggart, the new manager, will tell you that. I mean, there's very few returnees to this team. Now, with that said, you have Max Murphy, player of the year last year in the league. Luis Ramirez, who pitched yesterday, who led the team in wins last year with 10. Idekel Gonzalez, catcher, he returns. RJ Martinez, who joined the team in the middle of last year, pitcher, he comes back. Travis Seabrook is going to convert to a starter this year after a combined 9 wins out of the bullpen over the last 2 years. And he started the first exhibition game on Friday night in Fargo. But that's really only a handful of guys I'm talking about who are back. I mean, Landon Barasa is back, one of the pitchers. But there's not really a lot of guys who return. So you're going to find guys who come from other MLB Partner League teams, guys that have been signed right out of college, some guys who've been traded. So right now, Greg Taggart, he told me a few days ago, you know what, he's not sure what to make of this.
Is there any feel that you have? I know you've only got to watch a very small sampling of how the team has played, but if you're looking at the stats and, you know, size of the team kind of thing or something, are you able to get a feel for what this team might do on the field? Like, is it going to be a power team, or what are you thinking so far?
You know, I talked to Amos Ramon, the hitting coach, about that, the guy who played with the Goldeyes for a few years. And I said to Amos, I said, who else other than Max Murphy is going to provide power? And he laughed at me. I mean, in a nice way. He says, you know what, we're still trying to figure that out. I think the only other name he gave me in terms of power is a first baseman by the name of Jacob Boccoli, who was in the league last year with Cleburne. But he's not really sure where the power is going to come from. I think that this is going to be a team that's really going to be a Greg Taggart kind of team. And from what I've, you know, talked to some other people about, and, you know, Greg is new to me. I'm new to Greg. But just talking to people that saw him managing Gary forever, that it's going to be more of a fundamental team. Get guys over with ground ball outs, sacrifice flies, some bunting, some running, things like that. Because you don't have a lot of boppers in the lineup, so you're going to have to really manufacture some runs. And that's really the kind of the vibe I'm getting, is that it's going to be more of a station-to-station kind of team.
Now, I know you're a guy who likes to tell stories about the team, and we discussed this a little bit when you were on the broadcast earlier about your time constraints with the new pitch clock, but who are some stories that you think on this team right now that Goldeyes fans are going to look at and really get into about some of the players on this team?
I think they're going to like a guy named Demias Jimmerson, who was one of the last signings this year, or at least heading into the season. He comes from a junior college in Arkansas called National Park College, but I talked to Demias, and he felt that he would have had a good chance of getting drafted in the Major League draft, but since they shortened the draft to 20 rounds a few years ago, he didn't make the cut. However, he said that he was in contact with a lot of teams, big league teams, and said that, hey, go play MLB Partner League. Don't worry about that. Get your at-bats, get your reps, and we'll keep our eye on you. And here's a guy who's a really good athlete, had some D1 football offers as a wide receiver to play at Memphis, to play at Arkansas. But I guess baseball was more his calling, and hit over. And I realize we're talking, you know, a junior college league here, but hit close to 400 is in 2022 at the JC level. And he went, he was playing in Australia. He was playing in Perth in the Australian Winter League over the last few months. So as he said, he's not really experienced any sort of winter in the last year. But good athlete, and I think that's a guy that a lot of people are going to enjoy watching. Aside from Murphy, who returns, and I think fans might enjoy getting a look at Tommy McCarthy, who was with Gary last year, but Tommy was signed, obviously, this year by Winnipeg. And he's a first baseman who has got some power. And his as a broadcaster, it's kind of exciting for me. The name McCarthy and Southern New Jersey synonymous. His dad, Tom McCarthy, forever the voice of the TV voice of the Phillies, and also CBS, NFL on CBS, college basketball on CBS, and his brother, Pat McCarthy, is in his first year on the Mets radio team and has been doing minor league baseball for a while. So there's some new names there, I think, that people get excited about. Another name I want to mention is Andrew Schaaps, because he was a two-way player in both the Tigers and the Dodgers systems. Now, last year he was a pitcher in the Detroit system, but the Goldeyes have him so far. He's going to play the outfield with Winnipeg. But Schaaps comes from a great baseball program at Arizona State and, again, has two-way professional experience. At the moment, Greg Tiger told me that they're going to have Schaaps in the outfield, but who knows? That could change sometime this year in terms of getting him on the mound.
Just in your limited time with the ball club, who do you see as being the leader of the club? Is it a veteran like Max Murphy? Is it somebody with outgoing personality that may be lacking in experience but makes up for it in personality?
I think if I had to put my finger on it, I'd say Max Murphy. I would go twofold. Max Murphy on the offensive side, Travis Seabrook on the pitching side, because they are returning players. They know what to expect with putting on a Goldeye uniform. They know what to they know what the fans want in Winnipeg. These guys have been in the league for a few years. Murphy certainly with his time at St. Paul and at Winnipeg, and Seabrook also being from Canada. I think that has a little chip on his shoulder too, that he's playing for the only Canadian team in this league. So I think those would be the leaders. Seabrook joined the team when we were in Fargo. He was not at the three-day spring training in Winnipeg. He was finishing up his junior year of college at Florida State, so he was allowed to join the team in Fargo. And I think when he got on the bus at the hotel, I just see guys just sort of like, flocking to him a little bit, like, hey, cool, Travis is back, great to see you again, that kind of thing. So I think those will be the two leaders on each side of the ball.
Interesting beginning to the schedule for you guys there, Doug. Starting in Gary, then you go to Fargo after that before returning home for, I believe it's a 10-game homestand for the club. Any kind of feeling like, is the team saying to themselves, hey, look, because of how tough this division is going to be, we got to roll out, especially with that early homestand, or is it just taking this one game at a time from what you can sense from the club?
I'm not sure. I think one of the reasons is just with the cold weather in Winnipeg that extends usually till early May, usually Winnipeg starts on the road. I think it's good that the team starts on the road because guys are going to be on the bus. They're going to be in the same hotel. They're going to be eating in the same restaurant. And with so many new players and a new manager and a new pitching coach, this is a good way really to get to know everybody, because everybody there is on the same schedule and they're in the same headquarters. So I think maybe this is a good thing, especially last night when we bussed about 8 hours from Fargo to Franklin, Wisconsin. Yeah, we made a couple of stops, so the overall trip might have been 9 hours. But it's just the guys getting off the bus together at a truck stop getting food and just all being together. I think that's good to start that way on the road.
Well, Doug, before jumping into our last question, for Goldeyes fans that want to catch you this season, where could they get your broadcast?
CJNU 93.7.
Beautiful. Well, Doug, let's leave you out here with this. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Go ahead.
I was going to say, there's not an app, but people want to listen. Just type into your Google, just type in CJNU 93.7, and there'll be a link that can set you up via the computer. A free link. So
fantastic. And Doug, take us out with this. When the Winnipeg Goldeyes are hoisting the Miles Wolf Cup over their heads at the end of the season, What happened to make that occur?
I'm sorry, go ahead. When they're raising the trophy, go ahead.
Yeah, when the Winnipeg Gold Eyes are raising the Miles Wolf Cup trophy over their heads at the end of the season, what happened to make that occur?
Yeah, it's really tough to say right now. I could throw you all the regular cliches of clean baseball and good base running and fundamental this. I mean, that's tough to answer. I mean, I couldn't really put a finger on any of that. But I'll just say that a man who's won three of those trophies, or at least three championships in his career, whether Northern League or American Association, they got obviously one of the best at this level of all time to do it in Greg Taggart. I think that's the right guy, especially following a guy like Rick Forney. You know, you're not going to replace a guy like Rick Forney, but Greg Taggart and Rick pretty much running in the same circles in this league all these years is two of the best managers. So I think it's just guys that I think if I'd answer you, I would say what has to happen, put a belief in a really good manager. How about that?
That's a great answer. Doug Greenwald.
It's a more detailed answer than Steve Schuster gave us last year. Steve just said it's because we won the last game of the year.
Well, now I'm going to joke with Steve a little bit on that. I'm going to kid with Steve here. If you're going to win your last game of the year, that doesn't mean you're in the playoffs.
That's true.
That's very true. Doug, thanks for joining us. We appreciate this.
Yeah, thanks for doing this.
All right. Okay, you're welcome, guys. Thank you. You're